Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, our friend from the Chronicle Telegram. You can read all brownszone.com. He is Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scotty.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, you tell us. I wonder about a lot of things. Let me go big picture on this one. I told Andy earlier, I was disappointed that the Browns, with the number one running game in the NFL, were either shut down by Baltimore or decided not to try and impose their will on Baltimore's number two ranked run defense. That's disappointing. That's what you do best, and you didn't even bother.
Yeah, I think it was shut down, Jeff. I mean, they ran it 17 times. Yeah, I mean, Nick Chubb was...
Two with Baker, though.
Yeah, well, right. One of them was a sneak. I mean, what was Chubb? 8 for 16? I mean, he's averaging 2 yards, and the long was 5. There was no room to run. It just looked like there was nowhere to run. And they tried it, and you can only beat your head against the wall so many times. And that's what it felt like to me, that it just wasn't going to get any better. And if you never have the lead, it's tough to say, yeah, we're going to, you know, run it 2 times in a row and then face 3rd and 9 where we know the Ravens are going to blitz, right? I mean, they had a hard time stopping the Ravens when they blitzed a bunch. So then you're better off throwing on 1st and 2nd down as opposed to letting it get to 3rd and long. So I get it. I get that you have this running attack, and at the end of the game, you look back and say, why didn't it work and why didn't they have more attempts? But I didn't have any problem with Kevin Stefanski going away from the run, given how the Ravens were committed to stopping it. And the Ravens are a good run defense. It's not like it was a fluke. They entered the game, I think, number two against the run. So when it wasn't happening, I think there was reason to believe that it wasn't going to happen.
Is it a fair question to ask Kevin after the game, knowing that your quarterback is all banged up, if there's any hesitation on wanting him to be the starting quarterback moving forward, or maybe just kind of reassessing where you are with an offense after having a quarterback who was especially ineffective at the end of the game last night, whether it's injury or it's play calling or whatever? I think it's a fair question to ask him that at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's certainly a fair question. And that's the first time we've seen, you know, I don't know if you want to call it snippy or whatever. The fact that Kevin turned the question around is unlike him. But yeah, it's certainly a fair question given what the offense has done, right? 6 of the last 7, it's 17 points or fewer. Yesterday, scored 10 points and the defense gives you 4 interceptions. So there's something going on with the offense. Where I think the disconnect is, you know, people keep referring to Baker as being hurt, and I get that he has a torn labrum in the shoulder. And I know that he's been dealing with other things, but he said it, and if you just watch, he said he's feeling better the last week, that he feels like he's close to turning a corner. And he was able to avoid a bunch of pressure last night that I don't think he would have 2 weeks ago. And he was able to scramble a little bit. And we saw glimpses of that against the Lions, and we saw way more of it last night against the Ravens. So if Baker's getting healthier, then the question isn't, okay, do you sit a banged-up Baker Mayfield? It's, do you sit Baker Mayfield? And they're not going to bench Baker Mayfield for Case Keenum. So to me, the kind of underlying, I don't know, facts around the situation have changed. The circumstances have changed. It's no longer, where you're sitting Baker to protect Baker, because Baker says he's getting healthier and hopes to be, quote-unquote, 100% coming out of the bye. So then it's, is Baker the problem with the offense? And we can have that discussion, but it's a separate discussion than, yes, rest him because he needs rest. I think that ship has sailed, and he played through the toughest part of the injury.
See, Scott, just real quick, just to follow, I just think we're in the wrong paradigm on this thing. Like, the notion that you're benching this guy is not – I think that we're trying to say, well, bench him because he can't play or he's not a – no, you're benching a guy because he's got rubber bands holding his arm together, or that it's not – does he give you the best opportunity to win the game?
My point is it shifted, sure. Andy. That was a conversation 2 weeks ago. I don't think that's any longer an appropriate conversation. Baker's healthy enough to play. And you look around the league, and Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not comparing Baker to Aaron Rodgers. He's playing with a broken toe, and he's winning. Teddy Bridgewater got banged up yesterday and came back in the game and wasn't himself, but he played. And that's Teddy Bridgewater, right? I mean, he's not a franchise quarterback. They have a backup quarterback that, you know, there was a competition in training camp kind of thing. So, fact is, if you're healthy enough, you play. Now, you can still have the discussion whether Baker should have sat 2 weeks ago, whatever. But I don't think that's a discussion any longer. It's Baker's healthy enough, should he be playing quarterback? And I think that's why Stefanski was so kind of adamant and flippant about it, is because he's the quarterback.
Okay.
Scott Petrak joining us. The only issue anybody could have with the defense is they couldn't get the Ravens offense off the field in the fourth quarter when the Browns needed the ball back until, 1:10 left and no timeouts. And then the Browns did nothing with it. Has that defense officially turned the corner, Scott? I mean, because, you threw out the offense not producing points. The defense isn't giving up points. 16 or fewer in 5 of the last 6.
Yeah, I'm reluctant to go that far, Jeff, just because I felt earlier in the season there was a point where we were talking about, oh, yeah, they turned the corner. And then they went out and laid an egg. Maybe it was going into that New England game, right? They had a couple good performances. Then they go give up 45. So I'm a little reluctant. I will say that we saw a lot of – I mean, the performance overall was definitely solid. We saw a lot of good individual performances. I thought Myles Garrett played fantastic. I know there was only one sack, but I thought he bothered Lamar Jackson all game. The one scramble in the fourth quarter, Myles is running step for step with Lamar, which is amazing because, how Lamar – what kind of an athlete Lamar is. I thought JOK showed up a bunch, and this is the kind of game you needed JOK to show up, and I thought he did. Obviously, the secondary made plays, and all three safeties get interceptions. We talked about that three-safety package. All three guys get interceptions. Ronnie Harrison has an up-and-down year, and he still makes some dumb mental mistakes, but he was all over the ball yesterday, all around the ball. They get 14 tackles to go along with that interception. So guys showed up. I think that's a good sign. I do think there's a chance that this defense has turned a corner because they're starting, they played together so long. Now it's been 12 games, and we think there's talent on this defense, and they're getting some pieces back. And that's as well as I've seen them play Lamar Jackson, right, since he's been in the league.
Yeah.
Having said all that, I'm still a little reluctant to go there just because of the overall inconsistency of this team and even this defense throughout the season.
Scott, do we sit here and do we question Kevin's play calling at this point? I mean, I'm just, last year they regrouped at the bye week. And, Kevin says after every game, this is on me, or, I got to take some blame for this. At what point do you maybe reassess and go, maybe Van Pelt should be calling the plays here? Or at least see what it looks like at the end of the season and go, that didn't work. Kevin needs to call the plays going into next year. Or is that, can you not put that back in the bottle?
No, I think that's fair. And I wouldn't have said that 3-4 weeks ago when some people started to question it. Kevin, obviously, even they're all involved in the plan during the week, right? So the question is, how much would it change if you hand over the keys on game day, right? You work all week together. You know which plays you like. How much would it change? Which is why I was kind of reluctant to even give it a lot of thought. But you got to try something. And it's not going to be personnel. We already covered quarterback. There's no other answers at the skill position. I mean, your running backs, they're a strength. Who are they going to put in at receiver? They you know, benched Rashard Higgins yesterday, and it doesn't really make a difference. You know, Demetri Felton plays one snap and drops the, you know, a third down pass. It probably would have been a first down. Like, there aren't any personnel options or lineup changes. That's the only one they can make. So I do think Kevin will consider it. I don't know if he'll do it, but that could be one of the bigger changes coming out of the bye. If not for anything else, just to try to find some kind of spark.
And Scott, let me just add to this, that maybe if you're Kevin Stefanski, you can even step back and go, look, that was a debacle, the whole 12 guys on the field after the timeout. And maybe he just needs to have a better grip on all aspects of the game, all three phases, rather than just being 100% dived into the offense and understanding that his job is to be the head coach. And maybe some of that means giving up some of the responsibility and trying to figure out what's best for the team again.
Bingo. I think there's some validity to that, Andy. I do. You know, when they had that issue with the guys on the field, I mean, he's not calling plays then. They're on defense, so he should be able to be in charge of that if that's where the issue is. To me, it feels more like a defensive coach issue. You know, he took the bullet last night, but I don't think it's really on him. But I do think there's some validity to the, hey, take a step back, maybe manage the whole thing. I mean, it's not like that was the only time they had issues getting 11 guys on the field. On the kickoff, Mac Wilson goes, you know, Kiefer's screaming at Wilson to get on the field, and he barely gets on, and then they get a penalty that's declined. If there's a punt where Jamarcus Bradley runs out on the field, and then if Kiefer has to yank him back off the field because they almost get 12 guys on the field. So it's hard to explain where this ineptitude comes from when I know there's been penalties throughout the year, but they haven't been like this. They haven't been kind of the operational penalties. They've been false starts and lining up in the neutral zone. So this seemed out of character to me, and it's obviously disturbing this late in the season, and frankly, period, because it's not that hard to get 11 guys on the field.
Scott, last thing for me, and this might be really nitpicky. If you call a play and the players executed it, usually works and you look pretty good. But as I watch the Browns' offense, their creativity on offense seems to be the occasional trick play.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear to be, you know, like motion in a play or the way a pattern is run or anything like that. Their plays seem pretty standard. You know, like you watch Green Bay, man, they're throwing some really cool stuff out there on just normal plays. You watch some of the other teams, it's the same type of thing. Is there anything there, or am I just looking at some reason why this offense has just been putrid?
Yeah, I kind of go with you're just searching, Jeff. You know, okay. I mean, they motion.
Which I thank you for pointing.
I mean, they motion almost every play. You know, they try to run those double fake screens to tight ends, and they've had some success with that. I think, you know, Stefanski said it over and over again about getting guys open, and he's not blaming just that. But the fact is, when they play man-to-man coverage and it's tight coverage like the Ravens play, it's difficult for their receivers to win. And I think that includes Jarvis Landry to some degree. It includes Donovan Peoples-Jones, unless it's a deep route. They just don't have a lot of quickness and immediate speed at the receiver position. And not to bring up an old subject, but especially since Odell's not here anymore. And I think it's hard as a play caller to deal with that. And that's what Stefanski's really struggling with is, against man, how do I get these guys open? And you see it every once in a while. You see if they go max protect and you give Jarvis a long time to run like a deep crossing route. We see some of those. But the quick beaters, the quick slants to get guys open, it's tough for these guys to win those matchups. And I think that makes it real tough to be a play caller.
Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scotty.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram. Read all of his work at brownszone.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.